Hey everyone, here's another clip from my first book, How to Become a Pro Cyclist. This clip isn't from one of the podcasts, it's just one of the short chapters of just me in the book. If you enjoy this, you can get the full book at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com. That's the only place to get it, and the only option to buy it gives you all three, the ebook, the audiobook, and the video series together, so you can decide how you want to consume it. What I would do is I'd listen to the audiobook while out riding, and then if there was a story, chapter, or part I liked, then when I got home, I could watch the video series version of that part, and maybe there's more photos or details from the book that couldn't be added to the audiobook alone. That's just what I would do. As always, if you enjoy this content, post it on your Instagram story. You'll have an IOU with me, because when you're trying a crazy project like this, you never forget those people that helped you in the beginning. And also, it makes you look cool and confident to your friends, because it shows you're the type of person that cheers for other people and wants them to do well. Okay, enjoy this quick chapter from How to Become a Pro Cyclist.
Chapter 38, This is What Hard Feels Like. One of the best things I realized before I went to Europe, probably the only thing that got me to come back and try again after my first year, was realizing that every pro that went over and made it before me followed the same path. They go to Europe, struggle in the races, and hate the life off the bike as well. Come home depressed and miserable, thinking they're quitting and moving on, but after a few months to a year away trying to move on, they decide to give it one more go. They head back to Europe and then they break through. You can go down the list from Lance on. They all followed this path. So I figured when I get to that stage, when I want to quit and move on, just skip that stage. You know you'll change your mind and come back. And if I can skip that quitting for 6 months to a year stage, that'll make up for the later start I got coming to Europe for the first time. The funny thing is, after my second year, I thought I was walking away to try to make it in cross-country skiing, and after a few months I came back to the bike. Turns out I still ended up going down the same path. The following scenario has happened to every bike rider I've talked to who's gone over to try to make it on their own if they didn't go through the national team or straight to the world tour from their home nation. In my first year, this happened 3 times. So if you find yourself here, don't worry, we've all been there. You knew it was going to be hard, but you thought hard was suffering on the bike. This is what hard really feels like, and this is why most people quit. This is why most guys pack it in and go home after their first year in Europe. This is what hard feels like. On Saturday, you race the hardest race no one's ever heard of in France, Belgium, the Netherlands, or Italy. You're getting killed all day in echelons, and at some point you crashed, but you finished the race. It was probably pouring rain and freezing cold, so when you cross the finish line, you're exhausted from one of the hardest races you've ever done, bloody, covered in road rash, freezing cold, and soaking wet. The soigneurs try to clean the gravel out of your cuts, cut your ripped clothes off, and try to clean you off a bit with their first aid kit in the parking lot while it's still raining. You're still dirty, freezing cold, and grinding your teeth as they bandage you up. The mechanics and the rest of the staff rush to pack everything up, so as soon as they're done, you all pile into the van to start the 6 to 8 hour drive back to the team service course. You arrive at the service course between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., and all the other riders have their own cars parked there or getting picked up by their parents. You, now covered in bandages and still dirty from the race, need to ride your bike, pulling your suitcase to the nearest train station to catch a night train back to wherever you're staying. You catch the train to the nearest village where you live, but now it's maybe 3 a.m. and you have to ride the last little bit from the train station to your place. In 2019, this was only 4 kilometers of mostly flat, dark country roads, but in 2020, it meant riding up a mountain. Only partway, but still 8 kilometers and an elevation gain of just under 400 meters while dragging your suitcase in the middle of the night after racing that day. You finally get back to your cold and empty place where you're staying after the most physically brutal day of your life between 2 and 3 a.m. By the way, you didn't win. Everything from that results page is telling you that you suck, so it's not like you have anything to celebrate. You're too tired to shower, and that's going to hurt with all the road rash anyway, so you just fall onto your bed and fall asleep. The next morning, you wake up stuck to your sheets and realize the blood and pus seep through the bandages. Your sheets are ruined, and the team boss or landlord will kill you if you don't replace them before they see it. They'll call you a child, irresponsible, immature, or not professional because they're letting you live here and look at how you take care of it. All you're thinking is, are you kidding me? But when they're screaming at you, you do feel hopeless and like a mess and like you'll never make it. You'll deal with the sheets later. First, let's get some food. You realize it's Sunday, this is Europe, and everything's closed. So all you're eating until Monday is whatever's left over in the kitchen. Probably just oatmeal and maybe some pasta, olive oil, and canned tuna. When things open up on Monday, you'll have to get back on the bike with a backpack to get your groceries and figure out where to buy bedsheets before you knock off the day's training ride. The next day will suck wearing a backpack full of cans and potatoes when your back's covered in road rash and bandages. Just one specific example of this from that year was after the Femmes Ardennes Classic, one of the October classics. I know, I haven't heard of it either. An October 1.1 classic in Belgium, and we had already raced another equally brutal one-day race the day before. I managed to get in the break at this one, so that was the little glimpse of hope that I can do this. The race was 4 hours and 17 minutes with a normalized power of 362 watts. In October, after racing every single week since February, except for 1 week before and after nationals. The race was brutal, but racing my bike was the easiest part of the day because it was familiar, at least I felt somewhat competent, and I had teammates, so I didn't feel like I was trying to do it all alone. There were other guys in this lifeboat with me. If this sounds insane, like I'm exaggerating, talk to any rider that's gone over and tried to make it at the Conti level in Europe. When you're paid just enough to eat and go over on your own, this is what it looks like when you don't have any money, and they'll tell you the same story. It's really hard, bud, and as much as you love your teammates, they're great guys and they're friends, but when you hear one of them complaining about too much time away from home or see them quitting in a race so easily, it makes your blood boil. All you're thinking is, dude, you're going home on Monday. I'm going home in November. You have no clue what kind of opportunity you have here, and you're pissing it away while there's an army of guys from other countries that would kill to have your spot on this team and get the chance to come here and try. It can drive you crazy, but use that frustration to give absolutely everything you have in the races. You're already killing yourself to be here. You owe it to yourself to make sure you're not suffering for nothing and give it everything you have in the races. When you're sitting on that train in the middle of the night with your bike and suitcase, you're sweaty, smelly, covered in bandages, and people are staring at you and saying things in a language you don't understand, the thing that's going to make it bearable is knowing you gave it absolutely everything you had in the race that day. No matter how pointless they may seem, you have to give it absolutely everything, because as soon as you start quitting and dropping the wheels easier, that's when guys are on their way out. Not quitting and giving it everything to hold the wheel in front of you is proof to yourself that I'm tough enough. I can take it. I can handle this, and one day I'm going to make it. If you quit when it's hard in the race and climb off when you can keep going, you'll always take that way out and when it's hard. You won't last, because when you're sitting on that train, maybe you're not as beaten up as the guy who kept going so he could finish, but he's fired up and knows he can take it, whereas you're the quitter that climbed off in the feed zone who realized he's just not good enough and should probably quit and go home. This is what hard feels like, and this is why most guys quit.
Okay, I hope that gave you a little taste of some of the content in my first book, How to Become a Pro Cyclist, and you can get both it and my second book, Details and Protocols, at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com. That's the only place you can get them. If you're listening to this, you know that one crazy cyclist, that one nutter that's a little too crazy about push bikes. You should send this to them if you think it'd make them smile. And if you enjoyed this short chapter and you like these stories, there's many more hours of them in the audiobook to help you kill plenty more hours out on the bike.